to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Bam! You are listening to Checkpoint
Bam.
Intimates. What? I'm getting started on a high note, getting everyone ready for the conversation ahead.
Yeah.
My name is Cameron. The other voice you've already heard, because he can't wait his turn,
Bam!
Is Elliot. Checkpoint Intimates is a show where two of the Checkpoint team get to go one-on-one on a particular topic. It just seems to just be Elliot and I a lot these days.
That's okay. We're the dynamic duo.
Yeah,
we're the extraordinary... No, I couldn't think of a word.
No. Nothing that starts with E, at least. It's definitely what people say when they think of the two of us.
We're the terrific twosome.
Oh,
what? Ooh.
No, I don't like that one.
Okay.
That one's in the bad pile. But today we're talking about something else that's currently in the bad pile. How's that segue?
That was seamless.
Cheers. It doesn't count as seamless if you then point out that you did a segue. But we're talking about the Epic Games Store. Now,
yay.
For those that don't stay up to date, basically in PC gaming, Steam has kind of dominated the space of offering a shopfront for all your PC gaming needs. It's been around for, how long now, would you say?
Since the release of the original Half-Life, which I think was 1999, but don't quote me on that.
So about 20 years.
Yeah.
So about 20 years, Steam has been trucking along. And I would say there's definitely been times where people have had some definite problems with Steam. And there's been other shopfronts have appeared. There's been Uplay... EA Origin, GOG.
GOG. Yeah, but very few of them actually compete against Steam in a direct way.
Usually because they're singular entities.
Some work alongside Steam. So you take stuff like the Humble Bundle store, for instance, and you're often buying CD keys that activate on Steam. So it's this whole thing of Humble and stuff like Green Man Gaming and all these other places you can buy PC games. They actually coincide with Steam. They work alongside it. Then you have the kind of dedicated competitors who offer their own games. So stuff like the Bethesda launcher, you can buy Bethesda games. Stuff like the Origin launcher, you can buy EA games. And Ubisoft has Uplay. So you have these kind of dedicated spaces. But then I guess what we're really talking about are these direct competitors who are saying, no, we want to do what Steam is doing. We want to sell all games and we want everyone to buy them and play them through our launcher.
Yeah, and that is where Epic steps in. So Epic obviously found huge success over the years, but it definitely blew up with Fortnite. So Fortnite definitely brought Epic from being a name that everyone knew. It was involved in everything, but it was much more on the development side.
It's all that flossing.
And then
they got that floss money.
How have we done two episodes in a row now where you've talked about flossing?
Have we?
Yeah, we talked about Claptrap flossing.
Oh, true, but you brought that up last time.
That's fair.
So I feel like we're on an even playing field now.
We're both as bad as each other. But with Fortnite being the huge success it was, it pushed Epic over kind of the line into becoming a bit more of a behemoth in the gaming world, and they decided to release their Epic Games Store. Now, originally this would have... Fortnite was on it originally, and that was about it to start with. And they started picking up stuff that was available elsewhere. But then the exclusives began.
Mm-hmm.
And the exclusives, I think, is where the concern comes from with a lot of gamers. The idea of being locked into one location. Now, the reason I wanted to do this topic specifically is I know that on the main show, Checkpoint, when we're on the air and our other podcasts, we have spoken about this, and we kind of do that thing that I think everyone does. We're like, oh, PC gamers are whinging about having to have a second client to download their games. No, you did, I'm pretty sure. But it's that thing where I think it's very easy to jump on that bandwagon of everyone's kind of saying that PC gamers are behaving this way. And it's easy to, as much as the PC Master Race rails on console gamers, it's very easy for the rest of us to rail on the PC Master Race thinkers.
I think what I think what we want to get out of today's episode, honestly, is the nail in the coffin. I think this conversation has come up so frequently that we have to dedicate some time to actually flesh it out, because every time we talk about it on air, it's like, well, we've got to wrap this up. Like, we've got so many other things to talk about that the full conversation never actually takes place.
Well, I think it was more about the fact that it felt unfair and that we should look at this closer. And we should actually delve into the reasons behind it. Probably give it
the time.
Yeah. The same way I spent, years talking shit about World of Warcraft. And then I actually played it and was like, okay, I get why people love this. I didn't love it, but I get why others do. So let's delve into this. The big reason this has come up is Borderlands 3 has revealed that it will be a 6-month exclusive on the Epic Game Store. Yep. This isn't the first exclusive. You had things like Metro Exodus.
Yes, that was a big controversy when Exodus announced that it was going to be an Epic exclusive for 1 year.
Yep.
You have a whole bunch of other things though. Detroit Become Human, Heavy Rain, and Beyond Two Souls are going to be exclusive to the Epic Game Store.
And the big thing, the big reason a lot of these developers go there is that unlike the portion of which Epic are offering to developers over, or publishers, over what Steam offers, the price is better. And Epic has come in with a lot of money, and they want to go to the top right at the very beginning, so they are throwing a lot of money to get these big ticket items to get people over onto their storefront.
Yeah. Now, I want to make something clear here. The cut between Epic and the developer is it's really good. So I think they're offering a 12% cut if you use the Unreal Engine, which is developed by Epic. Is it the Unreal Engine? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Yes.
You get an additional 5% cut off that, or again. So developers get a really good deal when they sign up with Epic. And Steam, conversely, offers about 30%, but that figure is actually quite muddled because they offer different amounts to different developers, and yes, there's a whole thing about selling Steam keys not on Steam, and Steam gets no money off that, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But that cut is not the reason why developers and publishers are going to Epic Games. The reason developers and publishers are going to Epic Games is because Epic is offering them a lot of money to do so.
And also a lot of marketing as well. They're subsidizing a lot of the marketing they'll do for the game. They'll get, front of store proper paneling. They'll pop up when people are in the shop. Like, as someone who has worked alongside marketing, like, the amount of... Can you stop playing with that bottle? Put it down.
No.
You're just going to keep making noise through the whole thing. Put the bottle down. You've been told. But it's that thing where the... when you're offering free marketing, that's very alluring.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money speaks, right?
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of these people have gone over there, and a lot of people are angry. People, if you go to the Borderlands YouTube for the reveal trailer, you can sift through about 200 comments of people saying, I was excited until you revealed it was going to be on the Epic Games Store, before you actually hear anyone who is going to be playing it on console and so is unaffected by this decision.
Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of thing that gets consumers super mad. Yep. Crazy. So, like, I didn't quite expect the level of backlash they've got. I expected backlash, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the voices have become so loud that you almost can't appreciate the announcement of anything anymore, because people are like, well, is it going to be Epic Games Store exclusive?
Yeah, and I've spoken before about the fact that I would really love something to come along and maybe shake things up for Steam, because there are some things that Steam let fly that they should be tighter on, and there are some things that they need to work on, and proper competition is what
competition is good.
That. Competition helps the consumer.
Yeah.
What we want to touch on is now some of the reasons that people are upset about the Epic Games Store beyond having to remember a second password. So I don't know if you remember, but there was an E3 very long ago where Xbox came out, Microsoft came out, and they made the decision, they made the announcement, and everyone loved it. It was the announcement that Xbox One would need to be online at all times to play games. And now everyone thought this was the best idea. And so Microsoft were worried, oh no, people love this so much. People think this is so much fun.
This is sarcasm for anyone unable to tell.
people will have so much fun being able to only play if they're online. We'll sell too many Xboxes. So they decided to... No. People freaked out. And warranted. it was warranted. It was a way for them to basically force the hand of players with how they interacted with their games. And they did that through having an always online presence for their console. Epic Games Store is the same. So Epic Games Store does not feature an offline mode. If you purchase a single player game from them, you are still required to be connected to the internet to play it.
Yeah, so something like Metro Exodus, which we mentioned earlier was an Epic Store exclusive, is a single player game.
Yep.
But you have to be always connected to the internet to play it because it's only on Epic.
Exactly. So if you say are going away and you've got, like, my PC, it comes with a handle because it's designed to be picked up and taken with you. So if I was to, like, go somewhere with my PC and, like, plug it in, but I don't have an internet connection, but I've downloaded all my games onto my computer to play, too bad. You don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do it. If my internet drops in the middle of playing a game, I am booted out because I'm not connected to the internet. I don't know how or what intervals it checks, but I think it's usually around 10 minutes most games do it at, it will double check that you're still connected to the internet. The other big thing that I found crazy, which is based off the internet, and this one's weird, there's no cloud storage for saving with Epic. Steam has it, EA has it,
yep.
Everyone else has it. EA does not offer cloud saving. Epic. Epic. Oh, God, it's already begun.
There's too many.
I hate remembering my passwords. Epic doesn't offer a save cloud. So what that says is if something happens to your PC and you lose data, such as your save data, that's gone.
It's gone.
There is no backup to the cloud. Whereas Steam, if my computer broke and I got a new computer and I download everything again, I can just go in and get my save from that and go.
But it's also more than that. It's just a usability thing, right? Right now on Steam, I can play a game on my home PC, go to my partner's house using my laptop and continue my game from there.
It's a modern... It's a thing that you look at and you go, do you know what? If this was 10 years ago, no one would care. But this is something that...
Well, people have got so used to it. It's not acceptable anymore. It's such a good feature to include that to no longer have it, it feels like, oh my God, what's happening?
I can take a photo on my phone and through iCloud, like through cloud storage, without me doing anything, I can go over to my computer probably 5 minutes later and it has downloaded onto there. Yeah. And it has backed it up.
No, I mean, that has its own implications of, like, you know, constantly taking your data and stuff. But it, in a sense of video games and just consumerism, like, there's a lot of benefits to it. Yep. And to not offer that service at all shows how far behind the eight ball Epic Games actually is.
In a big way, I think. It shows a dated side to things. I think this is a thing that we will be touching on through all of this, is it feels like Steam has been doing this, as we said, for 20 years. That's 20 years of being the only person doing it. So when they made a mistake, they would learn from it, but there was no one that we were pointing at going, well, look, they've done it right.
Yeah.
Epic doesn't get that.
Yeah, they were learning on their own.
Yeah, Epic doesn't get that benefit.
No.
Epic comes in and a mistake is made. It's like, but you know Steam exists and you know what Steam offers.
Yeah.
You don't get the benefit. It's a mixed point where it's like they're not allowed to make a mistake, which kind of sucks, but at the same time, it doesn't because they have something they should be basing their business model off. If you want to compete with them, you already know what you need to be doing.
Yeah. But this is just the start, right?
Yeah. So I want to touch on one more.
Go.
Epic currently does not offer user reviews.
Oh, yeah.
It does not offer reviews. So basically, if you're on Steam and you are looking at a game and the marketing has all been like, this is an amazing game, everyone loves it, you can go to Steam and you can look at the reviews. And while the moderating of reviews is dubious at times, it's not great, it still gives you a benchmark. You can look at it and be like, I want to look at recent reviews, I want to look at, you know, most relevant reviews, I want to look at reviews from when the game first released, so you can actually see how it's tracking. Now, Epic have said reviews are coming, but here's a problem. The head of Epic, whose name I cannot remember off the top of my head, has essentially revealed that reviews will be an opt-in system.
Right.
So games can choose not to offer reviews of their game. The reality is, reviews exist so that consumers can hold a company accountable. If you release a game that is broken and you opt out of having reviews, but all of your trailers talk about how great it is, how's the person supposed to know?
Yeah, I mean,
I know
there's just so many features that Steam offers that are pro-consumer. Like, I think user reviews are just pro-consumer. It's the consumer having a voice to say, hey, this is an issue, or hey, this is awesome, and it allows another consumer to use that information for their own consumer purchasing.
And while, here's the thing, reviews definitely exist everywhere else. You can go hunting for it, but the reality is you should be offering them from your hub. You should be able to click on a button and see it. You are making a split decision at the moment with it in front of you.
It's not even clicking on a button. On Steam, you click to purchase. You click on a game, and there's the option to buy the game. But there's underneath that, it's the user review score and the Metacritic score.
It's
and
not so hidden upfront. At all.
They're so upfront. So if a game is bad, Steam is like, yeah, you're allowed to know about this. Like, there's been some issues for this kind of thing. But Epic Games are being much more closed off with their content and saying, you know, we don't want to be upfront about everything. And so when we don't have these features, and even when we implement it, it's an opt-in, opt-out system. And the consumers are just saying, well, hey, that's not fair. What about us?
Yeah.
Why are you so pro-developer and pro-Epic, but you're not pro-consumer?
But then it's also not just pro-developer. It's pro-publisher.
That's what it feels like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like we want the sales, but not necessarily in the benefit of the consumer. Mm. Now, Epic does offer refunds, which is good. 14 days, you can get it refunded.
Yep. Same as Steam.
I think it's like if you play over a certain amount of time in that time, it's like, you're taking
the piss. I think it's about 2 hours.
Yeah. So you can usually know within those opening hours or not. Now, Elliot, you had a couple of other things that you found that were troubling about the Epic Games Store. What were those?
Oh, so I know the Epic Games Store had a lot of issues with security and accounts as well when they first launched. And those issues still persist today. I think they're addressing them and trying to fix them, but, you know, they're still there. And account security should be such an important factor. But also, Epic were busted for kind of spying on your PC and taking files from your PC that they shouldn't have had access to.
Yep.
And they had to release a statement apologizing for it and saying, hey, this was a mistake. Like, this was never intended to happen. And of course, they're going to say that. They were stealing user data because that benefits them to have more information and more data. Whether they sell it or just keep it for themselves just to have information, we don't know. But they were definitely doing it deliberately, and they were busted for it, and they're pretending like it didn't happen. On top of that, just like listing the features Steam has over Epic, there's no wonder people want Steam. There's no wonder people do not want to use the Epic Store because it doesn't have stuff like you mentioned user reviews. It doesn't have Steam Workshop. It doesn't have community forums. It doesn't have a marketplace. It doesn't even have a proper checkout system. There's no shopping trolley. So you have to buy every game one at a time. It's just, there's so many things that it doesn't have that listing it doesn't even begin. It's just the icing on the cake.
I think as well, the you mentioned the lack of a community, kind of there's no forums, there's no way to meet new people through the Epic Games Store, and that feels very anti-consumer as well.
Oh, there are very few social features on Epic.
It's deliberately making it so it's hard to speak between other players, which sucks.
Yeah. I mean, gaming is supposed to be social, or at least multiplayer gaming is supposed to be social.
Modern gaming is supposed to be social.
And to, like, make that a difficult process just feels ridiculous. But I think, ultimately, it's all of these reasons that gamers are so mad when they see Epic Games Store exclusive, because, yeah, it's not just people being whiny that they want to use something they're familiar with and they don't want to have their game library split across multiple platforms. There are actually some genuine and decent reasons why people would be mad about this. Having said that, I bet a lot of those players don't even notice these missing features and stuff like security. And a lot of these players will be using those things as excuses because they do fit into the category of person who just doesn't want competition. They like Steam, they're familiar with Steam, they're sitting in their rocking chair with their arms folded going, no, I don't want to use anything
else.
They're
a Steam boy.
Yeah. And those people definitely exist too. And I think we need to be adaptable because competition is always a good thing. And it's always good for other people to enter into the marketplace because it gives a kick to other people.
It's a matter of if Epic are willing to take on what's being said and start to adapt. And I worry that having exclusives this early, it's a double-edged sword. It it's too early for them to take on exclusives when there are so many things that need to be worked on in their store. But without exclusives, why would anyone buy them and fund them to then make these changes they need to make?
I think right now Epic Games, the Epic Games Store, that part of their brand is running at a massive loss. I have to assume they are not making much money off game sales because they are spending so much money on buying up exclusives that they're really not seeing the benefit. They're playing the long game. They want to have so many games on their platform that people are forced to use it, forced to get familiar with it, and begin actually engaging in it later down the line. The problem with that mentality is that, once again, it feels anti-consumer. We already know Epic Games has all of this money. They have all of this Fortnite money, and they're splashing it out to get exclusives. But they could be splashing it out to make a better client, to be paying people to put all these features into their client before they start doing exclusives. But they're not.
No, they've definitely decided that the game titles are more important than anything else. Like, they are what matters the most to these companies, like the big names, and roping these people in rather than offering. I think it's interesting that maybe a better service would have been more beneficial to them, so that then people could point at it and be like, well, Epic Games Store is offering me a better time than Steam and the same games. So if it runs better, maybe I'll go there. But instead they've gone, we need big titles because that what grabs the attention of gamers.
Yeah.
And unfortunately that paints Epic Games Store of looking down on gamers and knowing they're...
They are kind of purposing themselves as a bit of the villain in this situation.
Yeah.
The problem is, I actually think they're right. I think gamers do care about exclusives and nothing else.
Yeah.
I think if Epic released, as we're saying, in the perfect way, and they had all these features, and they were very pro-consumer, and they did all the right things, people would still buy their games on Steam, because they don't care about competition. They just want what they're familiar with and where their games are.
If I'm going to be completely frank, if I'm going to be completely honest now, and I apologize to our listeners, but the reality is, if it offered something good and a bunch of YouTube Let's Players jumped on and were like, this is a great service, we should all move to it, Steam would take that hit. Like,
oh, yeah.
They would feel that hit. As much as YouTubers are getting on YouTube and talking about how bad Epic is, Let's Players are a big influencer in the gaming zeitgeist.
Yeah.
That's the right word, yeah?
That's a word.
It's certainly a word. And that's a good enough place
that's an appropriate word.
That's an appropriate place to end the episode. So we just wanted to delve a bit deeper into why people have problems with the Epic Games Store, because it may not make sense when we talk about all these stories where people are freaking out about the Epic Games Store and you're like, I don't get why. Is everyone just being a whingy baby? Look, some are. Some are just being whingy babies. But some are actually raising some definite problems that the Epic Games Store has that it needs to be working on, and that it should probably focus some energy on before it goes for its next big exclusive.
There's a good way and a bad way to launch any consumer product, and it seems like Epic are going the bad way and are instead making people...
And just kind of wearing it on their sleeve as well.
People, aren't they?
They're not backing down at all. They're just being like, well, deal with it.
Yeah.
Elliot, thank you for coming and talking to me all about PC Master Race stuff.
Been a fun show.
It has been. My name has been Cameron. You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this, subscribe, rate us, listen to all of the rest of our podcasts where we talk about other fun things. But until next time, bye guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.